नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 7 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड शिवा सेव्स द यूनिवर्स। टुडे विल बी रीडिंग टेक्स्ट 30 एंड 31। टेक्स्ट 30 छाया छाया त्वधर्मोर्मिषुयैर्विसर्गो नेत्रत्रयं सत्त्वरजस्तमांसि सांख्यात्मनःशास्त्रकृतस्तवेक्षा छन्दोमयो देवऋषिपुराणः। Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Lord, your shadow is seen in irreligion, which brings about varieties of irreligious creations. The three modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, are your three eyes. All the Vedic literatures, which are full of verses, are emanations from you, because their compilers wrote the various scriptures after receiving your glance. There is no purport to this verse, so we will go on with text 31. I will read the Sanskrit. Nate giri trakhila lokapala virincha vaikuntha surendra gamyam jyoti param yatra rajas tamascha sattvam na yad brahma nirasta bhedam. Translation. O Lord Girisha, since the impersonal Brahman effulgence is transcendental to the material modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, the various directors of this material world certainly cannot appreciate it or even know where it is. It is not understandable even to Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu or the King of Heaven, Mahendra. Purport. The Brahma Jyoti is actually the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Chapter 5, Text 40, Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti, koti shvasesha vasudhadi vibhuti vinnam, tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam, govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahman, which is absolute, complete and unlimited, and which displays the varieties of countless planets with their different opulences in millions and millions of universes. Although the impersonal feature of the absolute is an expansion of the rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not need to take care of the impersonalists who enter the Brahma Jyoti. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. In my impersonal feature, I pervade this entire universe. Thus, the avyakta murti, the impersonal feature, is certainly an expansion of Krishna's energy. Mayavadis who prefer to merge into this Brahman effulgence worship Lord Shiva. The mantras referred to in text 29 are called Mukhani Panchopanishadas Tavesha. Mayavadis take all these mantras seriously in worshipping Lord Shiva. These mantras are as follows. 1. Tat Purushaya Vidmahe Shantyai. 2. Mahadevaya Dhimahi Vidyayai. 3. Tanno Rudra Pratishthayai. 4. Prachodayadhrityai. 5. Aghorebhyastama. 6. Athaghorebhyo moha. 7. Aghorebhyo raksha. 8. Aghoretarebhyo nidra. 9. Sarvebhyasarvavyadhyai. 10. Sarvasarvebhyo mrityave. 11. Namaste stukshudha. 12. रुद्र रूपेभ्य तृष्णा 13 वाम देवाय रजा 14 ज्येष्ठाय स्वाहा 15 श्रेष्ठाय रत्यै 16 रुद्राय कल्याण्यै 17 कालाय कामा 18 कलविकरणाय संधिन्यै 19 बलविकरणाय क्रिया 20 बलाय वृद्ध्यै 21 बलच्छाया 22 प्रमथनाय धात्रै 23 सर्वभूतदमनाय ब्राह्मण्यै 24 मनःशोषिण्यै 25 उन्मनाय ज्वरा 26 सद्यो जातं प्रपद्यामि सिद्ध्यै 27 सद्यो जाताय वै नमः वृद्धायै 28 भवे दित्यै 29 अभवे लक्ष्म्यै 30 नाति भवे मेधा 31 भजस्व मां कांत्यै भवस्वधा 32 भवस्वधा 33 उद्भवाय प्रभा 34 ईशान सर्व विद्यानां सशिन्यै 35 ईश्वर सर्व भूतानां अभयदा 36 ब्रह्माधिपतिर् ब्रह्मणोधिपतिर् ब्रह्मण ब्रह्मेष्टदा 37 शिवो मे अस्तु मरीच्यै 38 सदा शिव ज्वालिन्यै The impersonal Brahman is unknown even to the other directors of the material creation, including Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, and even Lord Vishnu. This does not mean, however, that Lord Vishnu is not omniscient. Lord Vishnu is omniscient, but he does not need to understand what is going on in his all-pervading expansion. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that although everything is an expansion of him, Maya tatam idam sarvam. He does not need to take care of everything. Na chaham teshu avasthitaha. Since there are various directors like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Indra. Quite a long purport that one. And quite interesting too. In the purport to text 29, Srila Prabhupada just briefly touches. He says, in text 29, the text mentions five mantras, and Prabhupada just touches briefly that these five mantras are within the category of 38 special Vedic mantras chanted by Lord Shiva. And in today's purport, Prabhupada has expanded and given all these 38 mantras which we read. So it was a little confusing for me. Where do I begin? So, actually, while listening to the class by His Grace Anant Nitai Prabhu just a couple of days ago, he mentioned a very interesting point which struck me. He said that when we see this description of these prayers offered by all the demigods to Lord Shiva, and we see that most of these prayers, they are describing Lord Shiva as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, if we see like the 28th verse, the translation in this particular chapter, 28th verse, the translation goes something like this. O Lord, you are the three Vedas personified. The seven seas are your abdomen, and the mountains are your bones. All drugs, creepers and vegetables are the hairs on your body. The Vedic mantras like Gayatri are the seven layers of your body, and the Vedic religious system is the core of your heart. And this immediately reminded me of the first chapter in the second canto, where Sukadeva Goswami is describing the Virat Purusha to Parikshit Maharaj. So one of the verses there, it reads, "O king, the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body, the trees are the hairs on his body, and the omnipotent breath is his breath. Sorry, omnipotent air is his breath." So it was so strikingly similar, the descriptions, the prayers offered by demigods to Lord Shiva and the description of the Virat Rupa. So Ananita Prabhu was mentioning that there is a very fine line of difference between flattery and praise. And he gave a very nice example. He said that when we recall the prayers offered by Lord Hiranyakashipu to Lord Brahma, when he appeared in front of Hiranyakashipu, and even those prayers we read, he is actually describing Lord Brahma as the supreme personality of Godhead. But then there is an ulterior motive behind why he is doing that. Whereas when we look at the descriptions of these particular verses, there is a motive for the demigods also, but it's not like something, some individualistic or for some self-aggrandizement. So he was mentioning this, that there is difference between praise and flattery, and that point was so much striking. So all these verses that we have been reading since past few days, we have been seeing that the descriptions are almost like Lord Shiva is the supreme. And there is always this question, many times our devotees distributing books or even distributing BTGs. We also had one special issue of Back to Godhead recently on Lord Shiva. So many times there is so many questions, so many queries. Who exactly is Lord Shiva? What is his position? And all this. So, briefly, I'll just touch upon that. So, in Brahma Samhita, as it said, Ishwara, Ishwara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So Krishna is the source of everything. He is the cause of everything. Krishnas to Bhagavan Swayam. So from Krishna, first expansion, Lord Balaram. And from Baldev, we have the first quadruple expansion of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna. So the Sankarshan, the four-arm transcendental form, he further expands into Anantashesh. Now, this Anantashesh is described in the scriptures to be a huge cobra holding the entire universe like a white mustard seed on his head. A mustard seed means small. It also is an indication of the size of Lord Ananta's head, how huge he is. He is holding the entire universe on his head. So Sankarshan expands into Anantashesh, and an expansion of this Anantashesh is Lord Sadashiv. Quite interesting, because this Sadashiv, the first part of the name, the prefix Sat, means is eternal. So this Lord Sadashiv, he's an expansion of Sankarshan, and he's actually a Vishnu Tattva. Like the other demigods, Brahma, Indra, Surya, they're all Jiva Tattvas. But Lord Sadashiv is a Vishnu Tattva, the same as Lord Ram, Narsingdev. And Lord Sadashiv, he is, even though he is God, an expansion of Sankarshan, but he takes the role of a devotee. So his bhava or his mood is that you are my Lord. So in terms of tattva, he is Vishnu tattva or Bhagavan, But in terms of his actual activity, he is bhakta or a devotee, Lord Sadashiv. Now his abode is not in this material world. We know that there is a famous painting, ISKCON painting, which describes the entire creation. And the abode of Lord Sadashiv, which is eternal, is beyond this material world, beyond the seven layers of this material world, Mahesh Dham. And this particular Sadashiv Lok is an eternal planet, eternally existing. And in that planet, Lord Sadashiv is worshipping his Ishtadev, Sankarshan. So he is specifically worshipping an expansion of Sankarshan, which is Anantashesh. Actually, even symbolic, even that is why many people, when they ask why Lord Shiva is always wearing those snakes, so one of the explanations that Acharyas give is that the cobra, the snake around the neck and arms of Lord Sadashiv is because he is always meditating upon his Ishtadev Anantashesh. So these snakes, they remind him of his Ishtadev. Now Lord Sadashiv has his eternal abode, and he's got his eternal abode, which is the Sadashiv Lok. Just like there is Ayodhya in the spiritual world, there is an Ayodhya in this material world. There is Vrindavan in the spiritual world, there is Vrindavan in the material world. But we cannot see the actual Vrindavan, even though it is different, it is completely separate from this material world, the Vrindavan. We may say it is in UP, and we may see so many things which we don't understand, but even though it looks like of this world, it is not of this world. Actually, we require spiritual vision to understand. It's just like a very mundane example which comes to my mind. It's something which doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it comes. You have an example of something called a 3D movie. So when you have a three-dimensional movie, if you want to see the three-dimensional effect, they will provide glasses along with. They give you special glasses. When you enter the cinema hall, they give you special glasses. Only when you put on those glasses, then you see that three-dimensional effect. Otherwise, it's just like a plane, some projection on a two-dimensional surface. But when you want to see the three-dimensional effects, then you have to be provided that specific vision. So similarly, the dham which we have in this, which so-called in this world, they are not of this world. So similarly, Lord Sadashiv, he also has his dham here in this material world. So how that comes about? So one of the there is Lord Sadashiv. He has got his eternal abode, and he has another form. Lord Sadashiv, an expansion of him, is known as just Lord Shiva. And he has a separate tattva altogether, which we know as the Shiva tattva. So you have Vishnu tattva, Lord Sadashiv is Vishnu tattva, and then we have Lord Shiva, who is just Shiva tattva, and all other demigods are like Jiva tattva. So Lord Shiva, he has got so many different types of people who worship him. And one of his devotees is Kubera, who is the treasurer of the demigods. Like something like Rockefeller or maybe the World Bank. Gives out loans, takes interest and maintains the finances and other things. So he's like the treasurer for the demigods. And the Ishtadev of Kubera is Sadashiv, Lord Sadashiv. So he, Lord Sadashiv, is pleased upon his devotee and he agrees to come and reside with him. So there is this one form which is eternally residing in this eternal planet known as Sadashiv Lok, which is Lord Sadashiv. And an expansion He is living on Kubera Lok, which is within this material world. So, Kubera tells Lord Shiva that I have a very beautiful mountain and this mountain is named Mount Kailash. You please come and reside here. So, when Lord Shiva comes and resides on Mount Kailash, he lives in a very reduced condition. Like, you know, when we are in our temple, then it's everything we have our, like, for brahmacharis, we have our lockers and everything, you know, all the places are set where we sleep, you know, generally. Or for grahasthas, generally, otherwise, usually it's a case of musical chairs. But then, so everything is set very peacefully, you don't have to worry about anything. For grahasthas, you have your home, you know, everything is set. And even if you go out and you are given a very good place, to very nice room to stay, so-called air-conditioned room, but still, it is an inconvenience. You are little somewhat reduced in your conveniences. It will never match home sweet home. So, Lord Sadashiv is in his eternal abode. He has his very opulent spiritual abode. But then, this Sadashiv Lok is a very spiritual abode. Because it is spiritual, it is completely very opulent. But when this Lord Sadashiv, who is staying in such an opulent abode, he is eating chapan bhog every day, Mother Parvati is wonderfully adorned and so many has countless maid servants. But when he comes to live in this material world on Mount Kailash, he accepts to live in a reduced condition, reduced situation. So, he is living on this Mount Kailash. Now, there is another aspect of Lord Shiva which you know as Rudra. So, everybody is wondering what is this? So, usually people take everything as one big khichdi. Sadashiv, Shiva, Rudra, everything is the same. But it's not like that. So, we know the story that Lord Brahma was in the process of creation and the first four progeny of Lord Brahma were the four Kumaras. And when he asked them to procreate, they said, we are not interested. We are not interested. We only want to meditate upon the Supreme and we don't want to get entangled in all these activities of procreation. So, as it usually happens, even most of us have experience, especially those in the Brahmachari ashram. When a son tells his father, I want to join the Hare Krishna movement and become Brahmachari, usually the father gets angry. So, similarly, when the Kumaras, these four Kumaras, they said, we won't get entangled in all this, just we want to chant the holy names of the Lord. So, he says, Lord Brahma becomes angry. And his eyebrows fall, and from within his eyebrows, a form of Shiva, known as Rudra, comes out. So, Rudra is a guna avatar who is in charge of the mode of ignorance and specifically he is in a very angry mood and one of the primary services of Rudra is the destruction of the material creation. So like if you need to destroy something, anger is one of the essential aspects which is needed. I mean, if you are very cool and peaceful and sitting in one corner, happy and contented with yourself, it is very difficult to destroy something. So you need to be angry. Personally, even I had this experience. You need to be angry to destroy. I mean, so when this universe is to be destroyed in this cycle of Srishti, Pralaya and all these things, Anantashesh, he becomes very angry. Because the entire universe is resting on his hood, Anantashesh becomes very angry and just like he releases sparks from his mouth. Just like when a cobra releases venom, it's very hot. So, from the body of Anantashesh, Rudra comes out. In fact, 11 forms of Rudra, which we see depicted on the cover of 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And they perform their Tandav Nritya and they perform this destruction of this material universe. So now, in this particular purport, so these are the different aspects of Lord Shiva. Lord Sadashiv, Rudra, Lord Shiva. Whatever I could find in different various scriptural connection. Now, in this particular purport, Prabhupada writes very nicely. He said, the impersonal Brahman is unknown even to the other directors. And these particular the mantras referred to in text 29 are the Mukhani Panchopanishad Tavesha, and Mayavadis take all these mantras seriously in worshipping Lord Shiva. So I was just wondering that another aspect to Lord Shiva is his expansion as Shankaracharya, who came to this material world with the specific purpose of, we know that Lord Shiva tells Mother Parvati in the Padma Puran, with the specific purpose that I would come in the guise of a sannyasi Brahman just to eradicate Buddhist philosophy. And in order to overcome the effects of Buddhist philosophy and spread Vedanta, Sripad Shankaracharya had to make a compromise with the Buddhist philosophy. And he prescribed the philosophy of monism. That is, everything is one. And this was done in such a way that very beautifully I was trying to think how I'll explain this. So it struck to my mind that while writing the translations and commentaries, Sripad Shankaracharya, he has commented upon Vishnu Sahasranam. And in the Vishnu Sahasranam, there are two plus particular places where the word, one place, there are two particular descriptions of Lord Shiva, names of Lord Vishnu, which Shankaracharya has described as actually they mean it is Lord Shiva. And therefore, he says that Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva, they are non-different and everything is one. So, there is this, I'll just like to describe that how Shankaracharya is describing and how our Acharya in our line, Gaudiya line, Sripad Baldev Vidyabhushan, he describes. So, this particular verse is Rudro Bhaushira Babhru Vishwa Yoni Shuchishravaha Amrita Shashvata Sthanur Vararoho Mahatapah. So the first word, Rudro. So when this particular word, Rudro, Lord Sripad Shankaracharya, he describes that this means Rudra. So therefore Rudra and Vishnu, they are non-different. And therefore they are the same. Like that he establishes this philosophy of monism based on Vishnu Sahasranam. So, but Baldev Vidyabhushan, what does he say? Rudra means Lord Krishna, who cures the disease of material existence, which is afflicting the conditioned souls. He says, Rudra refers to Lord Krishna, who cures the disease of material existence, afflicting the conditioned souls. And Bahushira, he appears as the 1,000-headed Lord Anantadev. And he is the maintainer of the universe. Vishwa Yoni, he is the creator of millions of universes, and he is supremely pure and cleanses whatever impurity that may contaminate the hearts of his genuine devotees. And another place within this particular, within the Vishnu Sahasranam, it is described Anivarti Nivrittatma Sankshepta Kshema Krit Shivaha. So this particular last word, Shivaha, is taken again by Sripad Shankaracharya, and he says that this means again, Shiva is another one of the names of Lord Vishnu, and therefore there is no difference. They are the same. But again, Sripad Baldev Vidyabhushan, he describes such beautifully. In fact, in Vishnu Sahasranam, he explains the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, especially these particular verse. So just I'll give a brief, we have to look into the previous verse to just get a brief glimpse. So he says, the previous verse is Gohito Gopatir Gopta Vrishabhaksho Vrishapriyaha. So Vishnu or Krishna is Gohita. He is a well-wisher and benefactor of cows. Gopati is a master of and controller of cows. Gopta is the protector of cows. And Vrishabhaksho, he is the killer of the Arishtasur demon. Vrishabhaksho is the killer of Arishtasur demon who assumed the form of a bull to attack the residents of Vrindavan. And Vrishapriyaha, and after Arishtasur was killed, he carefully protected the cows and bulls of Vrindavan, which are very dear to him. And after this comes Anivarti Nivrittatma Sankshepta Kshemakrit Chivaha. So, what does Baldev Vidya Bhushan says? Lord Krishna bravely faced Arishtasur demon, Anivarti, and rebuked the fleeing cowherd men by calling them cowards. Seeing that all the cowherd men had fled, Nivrittatma, he faced the demon alone. Sankshepta, he easily killed Arishtasur, grabbing the demon's horns with his hand. Kshemakrit, by killing Arishtasur, he returned the land of Vrindavan to an auspicious condition. And Shivaha, when the gopis heard that Krishna had killed a demon in the form of a bull, they rejected his association, saying that you have committed gohatya. So therefore, you are now sinful. So to satisfy their desire, we know that is where the appearance of Shyam Kund and Radha Kund takes place. So this is the description which is given by Sripad Baldev Vidyabhushan, but Shankaracharya performing this thankless task of taking away all the people who are sinful and who want to be deluded from the actual personality of Godhead. For such personalities, he propounded this theory of monism using texts such as Vishnu Sahasranam. So this is another aspect of Lord Shiva. Even in the previous purport, yesterday Madhavendra Puri Prabhu was giving class, he mentioned this particular line, Patim Vishwasyatmeshwaram Shashvatam Shivamachyutam, which Prabhupada quotes. This is again from Taittiriya Upanishad and is part of a prayer called Narayan Suktam. So we can see that so many places Lord Shiva, he is taking on this thankless job as Shankaracharya to propound this theory of monism so that those who are not interested or those who want to delude themselves from the fact of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they can follow this particular method. So he is like the filtration process. In fact, Lord Shiva, he says that it's Aradhanam Sarve. We have this another verse from Padma Puran where the conversation between Lord Shiva and Parvati, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. So Lord Shiva says that the highest goal of life, Aradhanam Sarvesham, that means the highest worship that can be performed is worship of Vishnur Aradhanam Param, is worship of Vishnu. And even higher than that, Tasmat Parataram Devi is Tadiyanam Samarchanam, is to satisfy, to worship and satisfy the devotees of Lord Vishnu. So in that particular mood, we can see that Lord Shiva, as this entire chapter is entitled, he saves the universe. Lord Shiva saves the universe. So we'll see in the coming verses that how to save the entire universe and the devotees of the Lord within the universe, the demigods, Lord Shiva agrees to drink this halahal poison which comes out of the ocean of milk due to the churning of the ocean of milk. So this is the position that Lord Shiva, even though if we see originally he is happy in his eternal abode Mahesh Dham as Lord Sadashiv, and actually in Mahesh Dham it's not that always everywhere, generally the perception of Lord Shiva is that he is wearing always matted hair and ashes on his body, and also he's got animal skin, he's wrapped in animal skins, and his snakes coiled around him. This is the general how we perceive the form of Lord Shiva. But if we actually understand the form of Lord Sadashiv in Sadashiv Lok, is an eternal form, and he's got a very golden effulgent body, and he is living in very much very opulent conditions. He's not the typical what we see or what is the general perception of how Lord Shiva is. But in order to cater to the lowest common denominator, in order to cater to the lowest common denominator among all the people who want to worship, like for example, if somebody who is dressed in fine silks and very expensive clothing and if such a person would go into say Dharavi and you would say anybody has any problems you can come and talk to me, very few people would approach, because first and foremost they think what he'll understand my problem. So Lord Shiva, in order to come down to the level lowest common denominator of the people in this material world, the worst kind of people, even people such that drunkards and drug addicts, just in order to justify their addiction, they point towards Lord Shiva. See, he is also taking addiction, but then he is also drinking halal poison. Nothing happens to him. They don't compare on that level. So just in order to justify their addiction, there are people who point towards Lord Shiva. But at least they have some sense of devotion. So Lord Shiva says, okay, we can start at this point. You start from here. And maybe slowly by associating with Lord Shiva and worshipping him, slowly their consciousness is purified to such a state where they can be elevated to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have within our society itself, we have so many devotees who are actually worshippers of Lord Shiva. Very senior devotees I know. They were attracted to Vedic lifestyle, Vedic philosophy, and initially they were worshipping Lord Shiva. But because of their sincere worship of Lord Shiva, slowly after some time they came in contact with devotees from the Krishna consciousness movement, and they got this philosophy of Krishna consciousness which Srila Prabhupada has given us. And therefore now they are very senior devotees in our movement. So therefore Lord Shiva, as Lord Sadashiv, he is in a very, as I said, in a very comfortable situation, very opulent situation. It does not need to be like this. But still, in order to cater to the lowest common denominator, he comes down to this planet, agrees to come down, lives in a reduced situation, and lives in a situation where everybody can approach him without fear or without misunderstanding. And slowly, by associating all Lord Shiva, by worshipping him, they get elevated to the level of he elevates them, actually purifies their consciousness to be able to appreciate, understand and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the greatness of Lord Shiva. As Shankaracharya, he has even catered to those who are Mayavadis. Not only from Vishnu Sahasrana, but even there are verses in some particular verses which describe, like the, I'm not aware, like some of the verses which so-called Smartas, they used to worship Lord Shiva. They are called verses called Rudram. So they chant these verses. And even these verses, the commentary given by Lord Shankaracharya, again he says that, see, in these verses now, These are verses describing Lord Shiva, and here these particular words mean also mean Vishnu. So he says, Namo Bhavaya cha Rudraya, Namo Sarvaya cha Pashupataye cha, and so many verses like this. They are worshipping Lord Shiva from these particular verses known as Rudram. And from that, Shankaracharya has described that this particular name or this particular aspect of Lord Shiva which is described here is actually means Vishnu. So from Vishnu Sahasranam, he takes certain names of Vishnu and says that this means these are actually indicative of Shiva. And from Rudram, he takes some particular names and says these are indication of Vishnu. So therefore, Shiva and Vishnu, they are all one. It's all one. There is no difference. So like that, Shankaracharya is preaching, he is doing this thankless job of weeding out those who are not yet ready to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And slowly is giving them an opportunity to purify their consciousness. Like just recently, our Jai Satchidananda Prabhu was traveling through Goa. So he told me one very interesting story. He said that while on the railway station at the platform of Goa, they were waiting for a train, and he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So one person approached him and he asked, "Oh, what are you reading? Is this Bhagavad Gita?" So Jai Satchidananda Prabhu said, "No, it's Srimad Bhagavatam." So, "Acha, acha. So you know Bhagavad Gita?" He asked. "Do you know all the 700 shlokas of Bhagavad Gita?" So Jai Satchidananda Prabhu was like little aback. Why is he asking me so much? Then he said, "Actually, I know all the 700 shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. I have memorized all 700 shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. And he had so many queries from the Bhagavad Gita. Why Krishna says like this, when it is like this, and so many queries. And it was all so much bewildering. So Jai Satchidananda Prabhu was feeling, now what do I tell him? So then after some time, Jai Satchidananda Prabhu slowly, after speaking some time, he gained the confidence of this person. And then he revealed to him that actually I am from a Sri Vaishnava family. And I had got disillusioned with my particular way of life. Generally people are only interested in, even though we are from Sri Vaishnava background, but nobody is interested in the philosophy. It's only just like Govind Prabhu says in his Mahabharata classes, previously people would now like to wear their religiosity, and they like to show off more. It's more a question of show off. So even if many people know so many mantras, and technically they might be seeming so much scholarly, but how much they understand those things. So you are saying that it was generally more show off, and therefore I got disillusioned with that way of lifestyle, and I was more impressed by some other faith. I was more impressed by Islam, where people are at least still maintaining so many traditional values and this and that. And so therefore he said, I gave up my practice of Sri Vaishnavism and I actually started following Islam, following all the principles. But he did this not just whimsically, he did it for a few years. And after following for a few years, during time he ate meat, everything he did. But still, he said, after some time I realized this is also so shallow. It's very external, not substantial. And somebody then gave him Bhagavad Gita. So when he started, of course, it was not Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. It was some other edition. But then still the verses, when he started reading and he started somewhat little he could understand, it was so much, he got so much inspired that he said, I want to follow this book only. And he immediately gave up all his other practices and he started following the book. But still, he was not being properly guided in his study. So he was telling that I would like to study this Bhagavad Gita properly. My point was, this particular person is just, and another thing is, he mentioned to Jai Satyam Prabhu was that the thought of marriage never entered his mind. He was always, you know, focused on just living nicely, trying to find a very good lifestyle, trying to, and in all this search, the thought of marriage never entered his mind. So this point I was trying to mention is because there are so many such people. In fact, I always remember that long ago, Gaurang Prabhu used to mention this, that finding brahmacharis outside of ISKCON is no big deal. If we go outside of ISKCON, also there are so many people who are living celibate lives. They are reading their Vishnu Sahasranam and Rudram and Chamakam, especially in South Indian Smartha circles. There are so many people who are living celibate life. That's not a big deal. But how many of them are actually dedicating their life to serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead? They may be doing all these things, but ultimately it is just something which gives a boost to their own self-image and self-ego. So therefore, these sort of people also, all these sort of categories of people, all of these people, they are like, you know, to cast his net far and wide. Shankaracharya has cast his net far and wide to get all these people also, slowly, slowly, to get them. And later on he has also given Jagannath Ashtakam, Panduranga Ashtakam, and he has written this very famous Bhaja Govindam. So slowly, slowly he has brought all of these people so that in a way they will start understanding and appreciating and wanting to worship the personality of Godhead. So these thankless tasks are performed by Lord Shiva on behalf of Lord Krishna. Also, in one of the previous verses in this particular chapter, Prabhupada mentions this very clearly, that actually Lord Shiva is that form which performs the material activities. He says, Lord Shiva acts on behalf of Lord Vishnu. When the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita that he is the father of all living entities, this refers to actions performed by Lord Vishnu through Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is always unattached to material activities. And when material activities are to be performed, Lord Vishnu performs them through Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is such a great devotee, as I said in the initial part of my class. He is Bhagavan as well as Bhakta. In Tattva, he is Bhagavan, but in terms of his actual activity, he is Bhakta. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or queries, you may please ask them. Comments are more welcome. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय